Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the sixth episode of Boss Madle. Today, I sit down with Sarah Mayberg. Her and her sisters run the amazing women's clothing company called Wuko Gals. And together we discuss everything from being a working mom to eating healthy to parenting tips, you name it. And it's a really fun and informative interview. One of the things I really liked about our talk is that Sarah gave some great advice when it comes to parenting. She's been doing this a lot longer than I have. And of course, with wisdom and maturity comes wise knowledge. And one of the things Sarah said was that, you know, by working on herself and reading books, it really changed the way she parented her children. And I couldn't agree more. In fact, I really credit a lot of my changes to Brené Brown, who is a fantastic author. Two of my favorite books of hers is Daring Greatly and The Gifts of Imperfection. And she really talks a lot about issues that we don't really like to talk about in society, such as shame and resilience, guilt, fear, vulnerability, perfectionism. And by reading up on these things and working through, you know, whatever it is that I struggled with, most people struggle with, you know, a couple of those issues, if not more, in whatever way they show up in their life. But by really, you know, reading up on these topics, it helped me to be such a better parent. And of course, it's always a work in progress. You know, it's not always perfect, but I'm so much less likely to react in an angry manner. I'm much more likely to be compassionate to myself if I've had a rough day. And therefore, the more I'm compassionate to myself, I am so much more compassionate to my children when they have a rough day. So, you know, if you haven't read her books, I strongly urge you to try them out. They really, really help me. She has a couple others. She also has a fantastic TED Talk. So definitely research her if you haven't. And without further ado, let me introduce Sarah. Sarah is a wife and mom to five children, ages 22 to 6. In addition to working as a speech therapist, Sarah runs the ever-popular Wuko Gals along with her two sisters, Hani and Alana. Sarah intentionally works part-time so that in addition to running her business, she can be involved in her children's schedule, such as volunteering after school. Passionate about health and exercise, Sarah makes time every single day to work out. Self-care is a non-negotiable for Sarah and enables her to manage her numerous roles so fluidly. Sarah, welcome to the show. Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear all about your business and your life. I mean, I know a lot about it from Instagram. I love to follow you. I really appreciate your honesty, authenticity. So yeah, let's dive right in then.
Sounds good.
Okay, so do you want to tell us how you started your business?
So I actually didn't start the business. My two sisters, Alana and Hani, started the business by making, I think it was 30 dresses. And they figured they would put it on Instagram or sell it to their friends to kind of see how it went from there. And they created an Instagram account and it basically sold out immediately.
Oh, wow.
So I saw this success and I'm like, I want in. So, you know, I wanted a piece of the action. And a couple of weeks later, I joined. So that's basically how it started.
Okay. So was there a particular challenge that you faced or you were able to overcome when starting or growing your business? Because now it is this huge business with thousands of followers, you know, you have different styles. How did you go about that? How did you go from point A to point B?
So I really, the first thing I want to say is that I feel like it's 100% attributed to God. I feel like he was orchestrating this entire thing. And we kind of went with it. Like, I feel like God just sort of set this up for us and we just, you know, took it where it was willing to go. I think the biggest challenges we faced were technology and business hurdles, such as, you know, the filing a fictitious name and getting your EIN number and becoming incorporated and figuring out if you wanted to be a LLC or a partnership or a general partnership. All of the minutiae and the day-to-day intricacies in terms of the business dealings were definitely the biggest hurdles. The graphic design, just, you know, We had some basic knowledge about these things, but it was limited. And I feel like a dinosaur because we're not the technology age. I mean, so, you know, definitely, I feel like those were our biggest challenges.
Sure. I appreciate that because I think a lot of people gloss over those details where it's almost like, oh, you want to have a business? Okay, get a pretty laptop and a pretty desk, you know, get some roses, happily type on that laptop. You know, it looks so pretty and so easy so that as an entrepreneur, when you're having a really rough day, you know, you're like, am I the only one who has to deal with these details? And, you know, sometimes it's not exciting. It's just managing the day to day. So
it's true. It's true. And you know, that's Instagram for you, because I feel like what people see, it's not that we portray it to be something that it's not,
sure,
but we're not showing you the running around and the conference calls and the breaking our head over, you know, the technological glitches that we're dealing with. You're seeing the dinners and you're seeing the dresses and you're seeing the outfits of the day and that does look, you know, like the flowers on the desk with a pretty laptop, but I actually don't even have a laptop. I pretty much conduct all my business on my iPhone. And then I use my computer at home.
That's great. So what is a rewarding part of your job? I'm sure you have many moments, defining moments of that. What parts do you enjoy the most when conducting your business?
So what I enjoy the most is meeting customers and getting positive feedback. I mean, even constructive criticism is a nice and helpful for me to hear too, because we can't expect to be perfect in everything. And it's nice to get feedback, even if it may not be positive, as long as it's done in a constructive way. But I really enjoy going to the pop-up shops and getting to connect with our customers. I feel like we do get a lot of that day to day with Instagram and social media. But it really does feel like I have all these new friends. And it's a really good feeling. And then to take it a step further, I feel like the messages we get really fuel our fire. We get some really beautiful responses about how our dresses made somebody feel, or someone couldn't find clothing for their daughter and they'd gone to every single store in their local mall and then she bought some new dresses and her daughter feels like $1 million. And so I would say those, you know, customer feedback, customer satisfaction, and customer connection for me are the most satisfying.
Sure. Now, when you started your line, were you trying to fill a particular need? Did you see a lack of modest dresses? You know, what kind of gave you that motivation to grow this into business?
So when we started, interestingly enough, I believe there was one major modest clothing company, maybe two. And we started by selling one size fits all dresses.
Oh,
so we started,
I love that.
Really small. Yeah, we started really small. Obviously, it wasn't fits all, it was fits most. Mm-hmm. With I think it was one or two styles. So their modest fashion wasn't trending at the time. So it was to fill the need for modest dresses in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. We started with just dresses, and then slowly it evolved to tops and bottoms and activewear, into different categories. But the market has actually exploded, and there's a tremendous modest clothing market right now. And particularly even in the mainstream world, modest fashion is trending. If you look at Zara or H&M, or even on the runway, Gucci was showing, you know, scarves, women wearing scarves on their head and fully modest dressed women this year. So it's interesting to see how it's changed in such a short period of time.
Sure. Now you just, I think, recently launched your activewear line. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Now, was that because you, and I know you personally, you are very active, you are very healthy, you exercise a lot. Was that because you were, you know, finding that there was this gap between our regular clothing and then our workout clothing as modest women?
So, you know, it wasn't like we went out saying we want to create this active line.
Okay.
We met a source who produces activewear, and we were introduced to them. And we thought about it for a while, and we're like, you know what, actually, it's a pretty small market out there that caters to the modest exerciser, let's say.
Yes, totally.
And when I get dressed, let's say, you know, to go to a class or something, I have different colored leggings that I get from, you know, Lululemon and Aloe, and it never looks just right. Like, cause you know, the leggings are like, let's say they've got palm trees and then I've got this mismatched gray skirt. So
that skirt always messes it up.
Yeah. Or it can enhance it.
Correct. In your case, it enhances it. Yeah.
No, it did seem like kind of a natural for us to go into this. I'm actually enjoying it tremendously. And I will say we did put a lot of thought into the material and the design. We spent a little bit more time, you know, researching just the right material that would work for high intensity workouts and would be able to hold up well for that, and that would, you know, suck you in and that would make you feel good, and that would be comfortable to wear all day long just for running around doing errands. Because nowadays, you know, go to the grocery store or go shopping, you'll see people walk around in activewear all day long.
I mean, sure, especially in LA.
Exactly. Everyone's going to a class or from a class.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's great. So now I know that on Instagram, you are very open and honest about just your challenges, your day-to-day life. And I was curious if there was a common myth about motherhood or work or being a woman or anything for that matter that you wish to dispel, that you see out there that you think, okay, you know, let's change the narrative about that.
So I do want to say that I think that we need to band together more. I feel like, especially with social media and the misconceptions and the perceptions that we see and that, you know, in other people, and we create the scenarios that are not necessarily accurate. So I think the biggest myth I would like to dispel is that things are not the way they seem.
Sure.
And then the other thing I would say is that we tend to be quick to judge because everything is right there in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I would say that we should stop and maybe give people the benefit of the doubt. And I feel like Instagram can also be used in so many more positive ways. For example, when somebody shares a tip that is helpful to them, mm-hmm. I feel like we can all benefit from that. So for example, I do juggle a lot of hats, mm-hmm. and I have my business, and I'm also a speech therapist, and I have 5 kids, thank God, and I take care of the house, and I am a stay-at-home mom also for all intents and purposes, because I'm here in the morning when my kids leave the school.
You're really involved. I always see you like volunteering at the school, the field trips. You really...
I try. I do my best, but I will say the one thing that I have learned in all of this is it's really important to have a routine and a schedule. And when you set yourself up with the routine and the schedule, I feel like you can manage and handle a lot more than you think you can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also, and this is something I'm learning as I get older, is that it's okay to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're younger, sometimes we think we have to do everything for everybody and please everybody and everything. And you do your best. Sure. And you try to juggle as much as you can, but not at the expense of your mental and physical health, obviously. You have to take care of yourself before you take care of your family.
Yes. Now, just to clarify, when you say people judge, is that because they're judging a very filtered kind of image that they see on social media before really knowing the person behind it?
Yeah. I think that so much is misunderstood and we jump to conclusions, and you know, someone may see someone else's life that looks like, you know, they've got everything going for them, and nobody knows what kind of struggles they're actually going through on a day-to-day basis.
That's so true.
Things are just not the way they seem. And all we can do is try our best and give people the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say that sometimes you post what you're making for dinner, and I sometimes go to Trader Joe's after you've gone and done your shopping, and then I'm like, oh, wait, Sarah said to do this crockpot dinner. It is really helpful, I have to say. I really watch them, and I appreciate them because, the short schedule, got to get things done, but you got to serve dinner. So it's, you know, it really is. I think Instagram and social media can be a catalyst for positive connection. And understanding. It's just whichever way we decide to use it.
It's true. And it really is about, you know, our outlook and our idea, mm-hmm. and what we put out is what we'll get back. Sure. So putting out those positive vibes and putting out the, you know, the feelings of acceptance and wanting to learn and grow from one another rather than the judgment. And it's really, it comes down to, you know, ourselves.
Sure.
And self-growth, you know, that perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does balance mean to you? Because you are juggling all these roles.
Well, that's a loaded question.
I know. Everyone's told me that.
Yeah. I would say that's very loaded for me because I do balance, but sometimes things fall. Sure. In the form of me getting agitated or overwhelmed or stretched really thin and my nerves start to fray. And, you know, I really try not to take it out on my family. Mm-hmm. But if, when that does happen, cause you know, I'm a human and, you know, I falter from time to time. I try to catch myself and I really try to take responsibility and apologize and then just say like, you know, I think that's the key is really acknowledging and knowing when, you're just spread too thin. And for me also having the weekends, having Shabbos to regroup is everything because, I sort of feel like I'm on this hamster wheel all week long and I go and I go and I go and I go and I go. And I tell myself like, I can do it. It's like two more days till Shabbos and one more day till Shabbos. And I kind of power through. And then I make it. And the truth of the matter is that as busy as I am, and I sometimes say like, you know, I wish I had like, you know, a couple hours of downtime. I really do like to be busy. There's no greater feeling to me than feeling accomplished and feeling like I checked everything off my list. And I hope that I'm setting a good example for my children and showing them good work ethic because I think that work ethic is a very important thing for the younger generation to see. It's not all about sitting on your phone and playing video games. It's getting out there.
Gratification.
And grinding. It's not instant gratification. Exactly. It's hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. Now, what do you do for self-care?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not a spa kind of a girl.
Okay.
I don't love massages and I don't love facials. I haven't gotten a facial in probably 20 years and manicures are not my thing, but I do love to exercise.
So that's why your skin is gorgeous.
Thank you. I drink a lot of water.
Okay.
And I have to get my sweat on every single day. Self-care for me is taking a spin class and taking a Pilates class and taking a yoga class and running on my treadmill in the garage. And that way I am available when I run in the mornings. I'm available to my kids and I, you know, I'm in and out of the garage and I make sure the kids are set and they're dressed and they have their breakfast or if they need anything. But I'm also able to, you know, take care of myself and, you know, exercise so that I can start my day and get my work underway.
Sure. And you exercise for the most part almost every day, right?
Every day, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Amazing. So I actually was really inspired by that. And I have now started to schedule it in my calendar and highlight it. Like it's, we don't move this exercise class. I used to put it like on the bottom of my list. And of course, then it would just like, get, you know, turn to the next week. And it just, I realized if I don't make it a priority, it's never going to happen.
It's true. You know, it's for me, it's a number one, it's a priority and two, mm-hmm. It's kind of a non-negotiable. So I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is I put on my workout clothes. I get out of bed.
So clever.
I, you know, say Modani and I thank God for returning my soul back to me. I wash my hands and I literally put my exercise clothes on and that's, so then I know like it's the first thing I'm going to do. Now, obviously everybody's schedule is different and you got to do what's, you know, some people don't have time in the morning, so you fit it in, but at least also, another good thing that helps is if you sign up to a class where they're going to charge you a penalty, then you're going to want to show up. And then you're kind of committed.
I know. I have a monthly membership, so it's very cushy for me.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. It's like, okay, now I've got the next day. But I'm learning. I'm adapting because, like you said, it's a non-negotiable for just, you know, physical health, mental health.
Yeah.
Giving yourself that space and time. How has motherhood changed you? And again, I know that's another, you know, complicated question. It changes us in so many ways. And you've been doing this for quite a while now.
Yeah. We've 22 years now. Thank God.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, how has it changed you? Any advice that you can give mothers who are, you know, juggling or perhaps struggling, you know, with their roles?
Well, you know, it's interesting because being a mother of young children and then being a mother of older children really, you really have to change your approach to motherhood, mm-hmm. And your job and your role evolves into a completely different type of a role than you had previously. So taking care of little kids is very physically exhausting. And I will say that those days are very short lived, and try to enjoy them as much as you can. And I remember people saying that to me as well. And it's hard. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm exhausted.
You just want sleep.
I just want to sleep. But I have to say, sitting down and doing homework with my little ones is actually the easiest part of my day. I'm like, now I get to sit and relax and just do homework.
Right.
So, you know, it's the day-to-day, making sure their needs are met and lunches are prepared. But as your children get older, it's about creating a safe space and giving them the tools and the space to grow and develop and make decisions and make mistakes, which is actually really difficult sometimes to watch, but it's part of, you know, growing and developing and creating a sense of independence. And you know, I try to offer my help. Sometimes I overstep my boundaries, but you know, it's required me to do a lot of self-reflection and look at myself, because oftentimes when I have a frustration with myself, I will project it, let's say, onto especially my older kids. And it's caused me to really take a good look at the way I see things and the way I do things and the way I think about people and the way I talk to people. And they've helped me grow tremendously. And I'm extremely grateful to my children for allowing me to make mistakes, and I do my best to apologize because I was doing the best that I could. But we've grown up together. I mean, I had my oldest right. when I was 20 years old. So, you know, at this point, we're like two teenagers talking to each other. No, but in all seriousness, they've made me who I am, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities and the experiences, and they make me a better person.
Yeah. I love that you said that. What I notice is a lot that has changed in my family is not necessarily my children's behavior. It's the way I parent. And I feel that's because of how I've changed. So I've done a lot yeah. of work on myself, reading Brené Brown and different, you know, books and mm-hmm. learning about, you know, resilience and just, you know, key tools and emotional habits that are very healthy. That really has helped me with parenting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would agree with all that.
Yeah. So now, what advice would you give someone who is just starting out in a business? Clearly, you've learned some lessons along the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, you're always kind of learning and adapting. But what, you know, what tips would you give someone who wants to start a business or is just starting out?
You know, every business owner has a different way of doing things. So mm-hmm. for some, there'll be a very detailed business plan, and others will kind of just take things as they come, and one thing leads to another, which leads to another. So it really just depends on your style. We sort of kind of let one thing lead to another and see where that led us to. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the approach that we took. But the biggest advice I would say is, you're going to find yourself taking detours along the road as your business grows and develops and progresses. And they're not, and the first word that came to mind was setbacks, but they're really not setbacks. I feel that they're detours, because everything that happens, happens for a reason, and it's a learning lesson. So even though you may not see the value in the experience at that moment, you were put in that situation to learn something. And it will give you better direction and better perspective and a tremendous learning opportunity for the next stage of your business and the growth. And that will allow you to continue to grow your business, knowing that these are all part of the plan, all of these little detours that you're going to meet with along the way.
Yes, I've never nodded so much. I agree. It really is how you perceive those detours. Yeah. I think no one taught me how much resilience you need yes. to be able to grow something, you know, especially yeah. like I was a good student. So if you kind of cruise through for a while, you know, and then you try something new or different, wow, that's when it hits you, you know?
Yeah.
So we are actually down to our round of quick questions.
Okay.
And this is where I fire some questions at you, you know, your favorites, anything that you like or you would recommend. So we'll start with your favorite book. I know you're a reader, so you can do a couple.
So I really like anything by Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I'm a big fan of his. And the other thing I just finished Chaim Miller's book on Turning Judaism Outward, which I found to be an unbelievable read.
Okay.
It's a really intellectually stimulating read that gave me such a deep appreciation and connection to the Rebbe, because it really, it was written beautifully. And I grew up going to visit the Rebbe, but I don't remember a lot of those interactions. And I feel like my connection was kind of like renewed. So I recommend his book. And then I have a couple other books by him, but I have not read them yet, but I know I'm going to love them already. So I would say those two authors.
Oh, that's great. Which other books has he written?
He wrote a book on Tanya called The In-Betweeners, I believe.
Oh yeah. Okay. I have that one. Yes.
And then he wrote some commentaries on Rashi, I think, as well. So I'm going to have to delve into his new other books.
Okay. I'm going to check that out. Do you have a favorite life hack? And it could be anything for any area of your life.
A life hack.
Mm-hmm.
What would be an example of a life hack?
For example, mine is that I tackle the hardest task first thing in the morning because I'm a morning person. So my goal is before 9:30, the hardest task should be tackled, whatever that is.
Okay. So my life hack, I mean, this is really simple and kind of basic, but the kids come home from school. Mm-hmm. The first thing we do is we unpack their backpacks, folders out, papers out, everything cleaned out. I immediately make their sandwiches. I put their snacks in their lunch boxes. They're sitting at the table, homework open, dinner on the table, and we basically tackle like all the night's activities within the first 5 minutes.
Oh, that's brilliant, because I prolong the agony.
Yeah, no, it's like a Band-Aid. We just rip it off and then we're done. And then we have the rest of the evening.
So smart. Okay, that's a great one. I have to say, really, I'm learning a lot, by the way, by doing these interviews. I'm getting everyone's life hacks and their tips and their books. It's really nice. Do you have a favorite easy dinner?
Favorite easy dinner? It would probably be hamburgers with brown rice and roasted broccoli or salad, or it would be chicken thighs with some basic seasoning in the oven on broil. Some kind of protein, either chicken or meat. With whatever vegetable I have roasted, and then either brown rice or couscous or roasted potatoes. So I basically do a protein, a carb, and a vegetable.
I love that.
Yeah, easy.
Can we go off topic a little? I know that you eat very healthy. You generally cook really healthy foods that are also kid-friendly. I've noticed that. Any tips for listeners on how to do that, or what are some quick, easy ways to ensure that you have healthy food in the house?
So the way that works for me is I basically go to Trader Joe's and I stock up on a lot of prepared vegetables.
Okay.
So I'll buy broccoli that's already bagged and I just have to check it and soak it. And I'll buy cauliflower that's already cut up, and I buy bagged lettuce that's already washed and cut. So everything is very accessible and already prepared. And then I'll buy brown rice and couscous that take, you know, just a couple minutes to get going. And if I'm going to make potatoes, I have to think about it about 10, 15 minutes in advance, but make it as easy as possible. Stock your freezer with frozen meats and frozen protein, frozen chicken and frozen meat and chicken thighs and chicken on the bone. And the other thing I would say is, keep it simple for the kids. Mm-hmm. Choose a protein, choose a carb, choose a vegetable, and kind of do it on repeat, but variations of the same dinners, because after a while, the kids, it kind of becomes routine, and it's good to introduce new things, but as long as they're healthy foods and they're eating a lot of nutritious, nourishing foods, and the ones that they'll basically get used to it. They'll be more inclined to eat a wider variety of vegetables.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I started doing that actually, like rotating like a good couple dinners that everyone loves. Then there's a less fight about the zucchini and the tomatoes.
They've seen it.
They know it's coming.
Something about the tomatoes. I don't know what it is.
My son hates tomatoes. I love them, but yeah. Do you have a favorite quote or saying?
I don't have a favorite quote or saying. I'm not into quotes or sayings.
Okay. We'll move right along to your favorite workout. Is that a hard one to choose because you love exercising?
Yeah. That's I'm going to say I'm
a pink color.
Oh God. That's exactly right. Yes.
I don't have one. I have many.
I feel like it's a tie between spinning, Pilates, and running.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah.
And our last question, do you have a favorite girl boss or role model? Again, you can name a few.
Well, it's interesting because my son actually just called me and told me he was in court today, and he told me he met an ultra orthodox judge. Really? And I said, "What's her last name?" Fryer. He said, "Yeah." He said her name was Rachel Fryer, and it reminded me that as ultra orthodox women, we wear so many hats, and you know, for me, my family is my first priority, and that does come first. And I've been a stay-at-home mom since my oldest was born. But for those that want more than just to be a stay-at-home mom or need to do something besides being a stay-at-home mom, we have all this opportunity available to us. And, you know, anyone who's pursuing their passions, whether it be a stay-at-home mom and volunteering at various organizations or, you know, an Orthodox judge, people should just find what they love and fulfillment in that. So, yeah.
Sure. We're talking about this on a different interview. What does it mean to be a girl boss or a boss? But it just means being a boss in your own life for whatever that means. So really owning your choices, finding fulfillment. I'm so glad that there's more of an open conversation about this than our mother's generation.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. We really are. And to be able to see role models all around us, I think it's really important.
It is. It is. And there's opportunity for everybody in whatever you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell listeners where they can find you?
Thank you for having me. I actually really enjoyed
this. It was so fun. Yeah.
And it was. It really was. They can find us on our website.
Okay.
www.wukogals.com, WUKOGALS.com. We are on Instagram and we're on Facebook every so often, but we're primarily on Instagram. So
yes.
Check us out.
And I love your videos. Yeah, make sure to check them out. They're really, really fun and honest and refreshing.
Thank you. That's the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Exactly. Well, Sarah, thank you so much.
Thanks, honey. Take care.
You too. thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.